ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय छपन्दे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So the subject matter is why only bhakti yoga. I'll let them settle down. In the meantime, we can have a little bhakti yoga practical session. Everyone please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So the subject given for tonight's talk is why only Bhakti Yoga? It was announced that I am going here and there preaching Krishna consciousness. Preaching means we are trying to change people's way of thinking and way of acting. Otherwise, we can just talk. There are many people who give religious talks, but their aim is not really to change others, but just it's a talk. People will come and they hear, someone will tell some stories about Krishna, about Rama, and people listen and they like it and they go away. It's a pious religious activity to hear the stories of Krishna and Rama, and there are so many avatars, among them 10 are prominent and more. Well, there are 10, and then we also have, there are so many stories about Tirupati, Balaji, Srinivas, Govinda, how he came to sit on the top of the hill at Tirumala. There are so many kathas like this. But our aim is to attempt to convince others, or at least to suggest to others, that you can change your life. There's some change required in your life, or that your life will be better if you do what we are attempting to do. So we are preachers of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. Often people ask me how I converted to be a Hindu, because here in India there is much conversion going on. From Hindu to Christian and Hindu to Islam. And so I'm asked, how did I convert? But actually it wasn't like that. It wasn't that at some point I thought, now I should convert to be a Hindu. But rather, I thought, what is the best thing I can do with my life? Everyone should think like this. Now, mostly young people think like this, because once you get in a certain groove, it's very difficult to change the course of your life. For instance, if you qualify as a doctor and then you start practicing and you're married and you have loans to pay, then you're already in a certain groove and it's difficult to change that. So, especially young people, well, of course, often it's their parents who, to a large extent, decide for them or try to push them in a certain way. You should try to be a doctor. If you can't get in the MBBS course, at least you should be an engineer or a chartered accountant or something more adventurous, maybe an airline pilot or an army officer. You should try and do something to make your life on a high level, a success. It's called a success. What is the best thing you can do with your life? I've heard that some parents, they say you don't need to bother with education. You just get into politics early, because with politics you don't need any qualification except how to lie and cheat and all these kinds of things. And so if you can start early, then you can get in and you can make plenty of money without having to study hard. I heard some parents are saying that. I don't know. Maybe some. So the idea is the parents want that their children will do the best that they can. And sometimes you hear that. That's a slogan in these personality development courses. You see some slogans. Be all that you can. Do the best that you can. But what is the best? Generally, it's thought of that the best that we can do is to make a lot of money, become famous, or someone may not be so grossly materialistic, and they might think, well, the best thing I can do is to be good. I can try and help others. Or someone may think, well, I can't be such a big person, but at least I can try to be a good husband and father, or a good mother and wife. And in this way, people have different conceptions of how to best lead their life. So I was also thinking in my youth, how I can best lead my life. But to understand how we can best lead our life, we should first understand what is the best thing in life. What is the best? Different people will say different things. Here in India, someone might say that the best thing you can do is to become as good a cricketer as Sachin Tendulkar was. Or outside of India, they might say to be as good a footballer as Maradona was. Or someone else may say that to become as rich as Bill Clinton still is. Well, not Bill Clinton, was it? Bill Gates, sorry. Bill Clinton's also rich, but not that rich. Or to be as powerful as Vladimir Putin. He's a very powerful person. Or Narendra Modi. They're very powerful, prominent. And Obama also, but he's on his way out now. So different people have different conceptions of what is the best thing you can do. Our proposition is to understand the best thing that you can do. First of all, we have to understand who we are. You may think, well, that's a funny thing to say. We all know who we are. Someone may think, well, my name is Srinivasalu, and I'm born in Telangana. Actually, it was Andhra Pradesh at the time, but we don't like to think of those horrible days when we were in that horrible state called Andhra Pradesh. I've got my wife and two children, and car, not a two-crore car, but at least it's not a two-wheeler, so I'm not doing too bad. And I work in such and such, and this is me. But the shocking news is that whatever we think we are is in almost all cases all wrong. Well, what do you mean it's wrong? My name is Srinivasalu, I'm 35 years old. I am, you can see. I have my PAN card and my photo, everything is there. See, certified by the government. No, it's wrong. 35 years old, then 45 years ago, you were somewhere else. You were someone else. Not exactly someone else, but in another body. And after 45 years, most likely you'll be in another body. Actually, definitely you'll be in another body. Even if we take this body to be ourself, then after 45 years, all the chemicals that are presently constitute your present body will change. According to some scientists, all the chemicals in the body, within 7 years, they're all renewed. So whatever chemicals are in you now, there'll be a different set of chemicals. So if you think, this body is me, then after 7 years, you could say, well, now I have a new identity, because all the chemicals have changed. But even if you're still alive in this body after 45 years, I don't expect to be alive that long in this body, then we'll go somewhere else and we'll get another body. And then we'll have another identity. This is an important fact to understand. When the body dies, we don't die because we are not the body. The body is temporary. I am eternal. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. I am not the body. The body is constituted of chemicals. I am not chemicals. I'm not carbon or hydrogen or oxygen or nitrogen or lead, which is a constituent of the body in modern life. We breathe in plenty of lead. Doesn't do the body much good, but anyway, it's in there. I am not these chemicals. I am not a bag of chemicals. I'm the soul that gives life to the body. When the body dies, I do not die, but according to the laws of nature, we have to take another body. Now these laws of nature, there are so many laws of nature which scientists have discovered. They've discovered so many facets of material nature. How, for instance, just as an example, that germs cause disease. That was previously not known, that germs cause disease. So now, or is the cause of many diseases, not all diseases. So the germ theory of disease, that is a fact of nature, which scientists have discovered. Then there are laws of physics. For instance, among the laws of thermodynamics, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. There are also laws of nature which we cannot measure with any machine or observe through any microscope or telescope. These are the subtle laws of karma, which dictate that for everything we do, there will be a reaction. If we perform a sinful activity, we will get a bad result. And if we perform a good activity, we will get a good result. It's not just by chance that someone is born in a rich family, good-looking, intelligent, and someone is born in a poor family, ugly, and with not much inherent intelligence. It's not just some accident of chemicals interacting with each other, but there are higher powers who oversee all these things. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. According to the karma, the activities one has performed, under the supervision, daiva netra, of higher powers, we get a new body. These are the subtle laws of nature. So then we should think, we should do good things. Good things means giving charity to needy people. Here in this Sanskriti colony, there is a plan to enhance the Sanskriti by building a temple of Balaji. So that's also a pious activity that will give a good result. That means those who help to build a temple for Balaji, not that he needs a temple, he already has so many temples, especially in Tirumala, is very famous. And even that he doesn't need, because he is Venkateshwar, Vaikunthapati. So he's there in the spiritual world, but he manifests himself in this material world to accept the offerings of his devotees. So if we help in building this temple in any way, either by either financially or by helping to organize it in whatever way, we become free from sinful activities by doing that, and we become pious. So these are all good activities. And bad activities, there are so many also. Stealing, lying, cheating, and so on and so on. In the modern age, what was considered sinful previously is now considered normal. So many young boys and girls, they live away from their families, unmarried, and they engage in illicit sex. And then the girls have abortions, These are all sinful activities, but nowadays people think that these are normal. But still there are sinful reactions for all this. Just because the Sanskriti, the culture has declined, and people think, well, it's okay, but people may think it's okay, but still it is sinful. It will produce a sinful result. The people don't know these things nowadays. They should know. They should be educated. There should be spiritual education. All the education is simply centered on how to get your degree and then become an IT professional or a doctor or a lawyer or something like this. But people are not taught even the basics, ABC, of spiritual knowledge, to understand that we are eternal living beings. We are not the body. The body is temporary. If I perform good activities, I get a good future birth. If I perform sinful activities, I get a bad result, either in this life or in future lives. So, I'm supposed to be talking about why bhakti yoga. Well, I'll come to that. The point is that we should do the best thing we can. Now, even if we're very good, we build lots of Balaji temples, we don't lie, we don't cheat. Actually, it's very difficult in the modern world to go through life without lying or cheating. Because sometimes if you don't lie, then you know that someone's going to cheat you. If you tell them the truth, then people will take advantage of it. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga, which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Jimma prayam vyavahara. In ordinary dealings, there will be cheating. People, just in ordinary day-to-day affairs, people just cheat each other. Shartya mishram cha so hridam. And even among people who are supposed to be very good friends, there's also this cheating element. Someone can, if they get the opportunity, trust someone, oh my good friend. But if the person can take advantage, they'll just cheat them like that. For instance, some years ago, there was a Pakistani joint family in England. And one of them won the lottery. Lot of money, £1 million, something like this. So in the joint family, you would think that, well, everyone shares everything, but the one who won it thought, forget it. It's my money. And he split off from the rest of the family. There was another case where there was a husband and wife in England again. Husband and wife, and the wife discovered in her husband's pocket some lottery ticket. He had bought it and forgotten it, it seems. And she checked, and she saw it was the winning ticket. And she also, it was £1 million. She took it. She took the money and divorced her husband. Money is sweeter than honey. So people don't care. These are symptoms of Kali Yoga. They don't care for others. It's a very bad age. Now that's one reason to take up Bhakti Yoga. Because Bhakti Yoga, it counteracts the bad effects of Kali Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is best performed in this age by chanting the names of Krishna. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gatir Anyata. Those of you who are standing, please come and sit. There are seats available. If not, then some of our devotees can come and sit at the front and make seats available for the guests. There's already enough difficulty in life without getting worn out legs. Yeah, please come, take a seat. So, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way to attain the highest perfection than the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So even just to save ourselves from the worst effects of Kali Yuga, we should chant the names of Krishna so that we don't become degraded. We all tend to become affected by the atmosphere that we're in. This is natural psychology. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. Our desires develop according to our association. That's why we see this. There's one phenomena has been prominent in Bangalore for many years, and it's probably in Hyderabad also now, that children educated in small towns, people may come from, I don't know, Kamam or Adilabad or something, or some village, and then they get educated in the town, and then they get a job in the city. And in the city, among the young people, IT professionals, they're all drinking and smoking and having illicit sex. And these young people who would never have thought of doing such a thing before, because they were not in that company, now they mix with all people like that. They also start to do that. They become degraded. So at least to save ourselves and our families from degrading into sinful life, we should take up this Hari Bhakti by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sounds like an over-enthusiastic mosquito, but actually it's the spray for killing mosquitoes. So, yeah, better to be good. Definitely it's better to be good than to be bad. But in this world, even if we're so-called good, we have to be born again. We have to be born again and again and again, as long as we have material desires. So even being so-called good is not in our best interest. Our real best interest should be to understand that I am an eternal living being. I am not born when the body is born. I existed before that. When the body dies, I continue to exist. So I'm eternal. What is my eternal position so that I don't have to get born again and again and again? We should try to understand that. That means spiritual knowledge. People become very proud if they're good in some IT or something like this. They have no idea of spiritual knowledge, of who we actually are. So they don't know how to live their life in such a way that they can properly utilize it. They think, well, if I get a job and I earn money, that's it. That's all I have to do. But however much we earn, or however much we're respected in society, we have to die again and again. Someone becomes very prominent in human society, and they're much respected by others, but in course of time they'll be forgotten. Just like there's the Chief Minister of Telangana State. What's his name? I know AP is this Chandrababa Naidu. He came back again in AP. And in Telangana State, what's... Chandrasekhar Rao. Chandrasekhar Rao. All right. So he's a very big man just now. But in course of time, he'll be forgotten. Just like this area was ruled for some hundreds of years by various nizams, was it not? This area was under different Muslim rulers called nizams. Nizam, I guess, is the same as North India Nawab. Must be the same. So, can anyone say any of the names of the nizams who were ruling here previously? Does anyone know any of the names of any of them? No one. At the time, they must have been very big, very powerful. Everyone would know. Very rich. Whatever they say. Here, give this man one whole village. Someone else, chop off his head. Whatever they say. They're so powerful, but gone and forgotten. So this idea of being a big person, it's simply illusory. Just like on the street at night, on the streets at night, the dogs are barking. And one dog barks louder than the others. He's very respected by all the dogs. He's the biggest dog. Be careful of him. It's the same thing. I'm a big man. I show others. Same idea. Just humans are more sophisticated. The dog is running on four legs and the man is running on four wheels. Otherwise, what's the difference? Two crore car. Someone has a two crore. You can get a 2 lakh car, but he gets a true... Why get a 2 crore car? Just to show, when he's driving along, he'll look to the side and say, ha, you have a 2 lakh car. I have a 2 crore car. Just to show he's superior. But he's not superior. He's a fool for trying to show himself to be superior. This is all foolishness. And it binds us in this material world. We have to suffer birth after birth after birth. So the best thing we can do is first of all understand who we are. We are not the body. We go from body to body. Why do we go from body to body? Due to material attachments. Well, how can we overcome that? It's very difficult to overcome material attachments. Because it is our nature as living beings to become attached to something. We have information from Bhagavad Gita, which we in the Western countries were kindly taught the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita by our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So he taught us that we should transfer our attachment from matter, material attachment, which binds us in this world, we should transfer that to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. And if we become attached to Krishna, then at the time of death, we will remember Krishna and we will go to Krishna in the spiritual world. Antakale chamameva smaran mukma kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra sanshaya. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whoever leaves the body thinking of me alone, they attain me. Without doubt. Whatever we think of at the time of death, that shapes our next body. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tang tam evaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever we think of at the time of death, that brings us to the next body. This is not some sentiment. This is spiritual knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives spiritual knowledge. In some religious traditions, they say, you just believe. You have to believe in Jesus, or you have to believe in Allah, or whatever. But Krishna doesn't say that. He teaches Arjuna, you try to understand with your intelligence, not just believe. Believe, then someone says believe this, someone says believe something else, someone else says believe something else. Someone says Krishna is God, someone says Shiva is God, someone says Sai Baba is God, someone says Allah is God, someone says I am God, someone says everyone is God, someone says there is no God. Then how will you understand? That you have to understand by exercising proper intelligence and getting proper guidance. So Bhagavad Gita is the systematic knowledge by which we can understand who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with Him, why we are suffering in this world, how we can become free from suffering, and how we can attain to the spiritual world. That knowledge is there, and the practical application of that is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means the yoga of devotion, linking with God, the Supreme, by devotion, by love. Love is the highest. The highest principle is love. Everyone is looking for love. When one dog barks louder than the others, he wants to dominate and get their attention. When a human tries to dominate others, he's also trying to get their attention, but it's all in a perverse way. Actually, we want others' love. But because our hearts are so cold and so closed, we can't open ourselves up to love others. We just want to dominate them, or use them, or exploit them. But actually, everyone wants love. And the central object of love is Krishna. Sometimes people question about Krishna's dancing with so many gopis. But that is not like some mundane person dancing, some mundane young boy dancing with mundane girls. Krishna is completely spiritual. And the gopis, they're also completely spiritual. And the exchange between them is an exchange of spiritual love. That means Krishna is trying to please the gopis. They are trying to please Him. It's simply each wants to give to the other. So bhakti yoga means to develop the love in our heart that is natural for everyone, to love Krishna, to redevelop that. It is not simply some blind sentiment. By blind sentiment, we can easily be misled. But Krishna, He doesn't ask us to simply follow out of blind sentiment. He explains each point so that Arjuna can understand and act with his intelligence. That's why we find in Bhagavad Gita, again and again, the term is used, buddhi yoga, the yoga of intelligence. So this bhakti yoga, it is easy to perform. Easy means the beginning is simply to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very easy. Even a child can do it. You don't have to be a great yogi or a great pundit. You don't have to be born in a Brahmin family. I'm definitely not born in a Brahmin family. Though your forefathers would have been shocked that Indians could sit and listen to a religious discourse given by, on Bhagavad Gita, given by an Englishman. They would be shocked. They would think that is adharma. But actually it's not. Because the Atma is not English or Indian or Brahmin or Shudra or from Telangana or Andhra Pradesh. The Atma is free from all these designations. So anyone can take up this bhakti yoga in any position. And whatever position we're in, we may be already stuck in some groove that I have a job, I have loans to pay off, I have family, so our course of life is already set, but we can add the practice of bhakti yoga by chanting Hare Krishna. There are other things to follow also. We should offer all our food to Krishna. We don't just eat anything here and there. This Chinese food stall, if everyone takes this up, that will have to close down, unless they offer it all to Krishna. But I think many of the things they cook are not offerable to Krishna. One has to act in a way to purify his life. That would also mean, unless the television programs are changed a lot, then we're not going to be watching television, because television is mostly promoting kaam, krodh and lobh. By watching the television, our consciousness becomes polluted. So there are some things to do and some things not to do. It means changing our life for the better, in the best possible way. Your life may be successful. I suppose that most of you here are considered successful in society, middle class, earning sufficient money. But that's not enough. Simply to have a job and earn money and speak English, that's also considered something prestigious. Although, the way it's going, everyone in India will be speaking English in one or two generations, and no one will know Telugu or Tamil or these languages. They'll be relegated to the past. So everyone here is materially, to a large extent, fulfilled. Maybe not as much as you dream. Maybe you dream about being as rich as Bill Gates or as famous as Sachin Tendulkar or something like that. But more or less everyone, your basic needs are well taken care of. So now you can think about your spiritual needs. Of course, you may say, well, in the morning I do a little puja and I send my children to learn bhajans That's all right, that's good. But is that enough to lift us beyond birth and death? There has to be some intensity there. There has to be some real attachment to Krishna. If we're not attached to Krishna, then we'll remain attached to the illusory pleasures of this world. And then we have to take birth again and again in this world. So bhakti yoga is the process that will lift us out of this material world. There are other processes also. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. There's so many. These are the best known processes of yoga. But in Kali Yuga especially, the process which we can very easily fulfill and perfect is this process of Bhakti Yoga centered on chanting the holy names of Krishna. So I won't take more of your time now unless you have more questions. Thank you so much for so patiently listening. I very much appreciate that. In the age of the TV, mostly people, they don't even like to listen to such discourses. And if they do, their mind is so agitated by watching TV where the screen changes every second. And so people generally don't have much patience to sit and listen to actually, I wouldn't say it was so much a religious discourse as a philosophical discourse. Of course, the philosophy that comes to its perfection in religion. So thank you so much for listening so patiently. And now, if anyone has any questions they would like to put to me, I will try to answer to the best of my ability, as I have learned from my Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. So do we have this other mic? Do we have another microphone? Yeah, so if you would like to ask a question, then what? We bring the mic to you, is it? Or they'll come to the front and use it. Hare Krishna. Please speak directly into the mic.
Yes. So, my question is, can you explain what is the meaning of back to Godhead?
What is the meaning of what?
Back to Godhead.
Back to Godhead.
So, were we with Krishna earlier and we came here and we have to struggle again to go back? So, what's that back to? Were we there and we came here and we are trying hard to go back, and is there a possibility that after going back we again come down?
Back to Godhead is the name of the magazine of the International Hare Krishna Movement. It is a phrase that our guru and his guru often used, and it gives the sense that we were with Krishna and we have come to this material world and that we have to go back. To go back means we were there. There's no meaning to going back unless we were there. So I've never been to China, not to the People's Republic of China. I've been to Taiwan, but I've never been to the communist or China. So if I say I'm going back to China, it doesn't mean anything because I'm never there before. So back to Godhead means to go back to Krishna. Our original position is in the service of Krishna. And in this world, those who are intelligent, they endeavor to go back to the spiritual world, back to Krishna. Having gone there, is there a chance of again coming back here? Well, theoretically, because every living being is given some minute independence by Krishna. Minute, we don't have much independence. For instance, we didn't choose where we were born in this lifetime or what kind of body we got. But we have a little independence. We can choose to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. If we fully serve Krishna, then we can go to Krishna in the spiritual world. Theoretically, there's always the possibility of again misusing that independence. But the general condition is, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yadgatva na nivartante tadhama paramamama. One who goes there doesn't come back. One who goes to Krishna's abode does not come back. Is there any other question? Definitions of Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Well, definitely there's a difference. Otherwise, they wouldn't be the two different terms, isn't it? There must be some difference. Karma Yoga is not exactly the same as karma. Many people say, I'm doing Karma Yoga, but actually they're just doing karma. Everyone has to do some karma, as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. At every moment, everyone has to do something. But when one offers the results of one's work for a higher cause, that is called karma yoga. When one is not attached to the results of the work, there's a well-known verse also you quoted, yada yada hi dharmasya. So another well-known verse is, karmanya vadhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. Ma karma falahitu purn mate karma, what is it? Mate sangostva karmani. Krishna says that you have a right to work, but you should not be attached to the fruits of the work. So when one works, but is not attached to the fruit of the work, and offers that for a higher cause, that is called karma yoga. Bhakti yoga means to offer one's life in the service of Krishna, including one's work, but centered on the mind. Manmana bhava mad bhaktaha. Krishna says, always think of me and become my devotee. Ananya cheta satatam, he says. He refers to those whose mind is always undeviatingly fixed on him. So one whose intention is to please Krishna, he is a bhakti yoga, yogi. One whose intention is to work and not be attached to the fruit of work, that is a karma yogi. He's more concerned with the work than with devotion. So it can be a subtle difference, because in bhakti there's also karma. For instance, singing Hare Krishna, that's also one kind of activity or karma. But it's not karma in the sense that it produces a material result. All these points are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. You please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is the world's most popular edition of Bhagavad Gita. Maybe you know about 2 years ago, some court in Russia wanted to ban this edition of Bhagavad Gita. Particularly this edition, because they thought it was too spiritual for them. Hare Krishna.
Would I speak in Hindi?
Ji haan.
Sir, Bhakti Marga and Karma Yoga mein difference kya hai sir? I don't understand.
ऐसा बोला कि वो अंत और सूक्ष्म है, सूक्ष्म हो सकते. कर्म योग में वो कर्म योगी का ध्यान वो कर्म के ऊपर है. वो काम करता है और वो फल भगवान को अर्पण करता है या किसी पुण्य कर्म में अर्पण करता है. और भक्ति योग में वो भक्ति योगी का ध्यान है कृष्ण. वो सब कुछ करते हैं केवल श्री कृष्ण की प्रसन्नता के लिए. तो कर्म भी करते हैं भक्ति योगी कर्म भी करते हैं, परंतु वो कर्म करने का उद्देश्य है कृष्ण का सुख, कृष्ण की प्रीति. और कर्म योगी वो काम करते हैं और उनका ध्यान है कि मुझे अच्छी तरह काम करना और उसका फल मैं भगवान को अर्पण करूँगा या किसी अच्छा पुण्य कर्म में मैं अर्पण करूँगा. तो भक्ति योग में भक्ति योगी का ध्यान का केंद्र बिंदु है कृष्ण. नहीं नहीं और बहुत कुछ होते हैं. यदि आप केवल हरे कृष्ण कहेंगे तो आप केवल वो कीर्तन करने से पूरी सिद्धि मिल सकती. फिर भी नो मुख्य प्रकार की भक्ति है श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्मरणम पाद सेवनम अर्चनम वंदनम दास्यम सख्यम आत्मनिवेदनम. नो मुख्य प्रकार की भक्ति योजना है श्रवण. जैसे आप अभी भगवत भक्ति के बारे में श्रवण करते हैं तो ये एक प्रकार की भक्ति है. कीर्तन नाम कीर्तन है, हरे कृष्ण गाना, गोपाल गोविंद राम. और भगवान की लीला के बारे में कथा कहना, वो भी कीर्तन है. भगवान के दिव्य गुणों का वर्णन करना, वो गुण कीर्तन है. इस प्रकार नाम कीर्तन है, गुण कीर्तन है, लीला कीर्तन है. तो ये सब कीर्तन है. श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्मरणम, सदैव भगवान विष्णु का स्मरण करना, वो भी भक्ति का एक अंग है. उसको ये नौ प्रकार की भक्ति भक्त्यंग बोलते हैं. विष्णु स्मरणम पाद सेवन जैसे लक्ष्मी देवी Bhagavan Vishnu ke charanon ka mardan malish karte hain. Aur is bhautik sansar mein pada sevan kaise karna hai? Tirtha yatra karna aur sadhu seva karna, ye sab pada sevana bolte. Archan, Bhagavan ka archan karna, puja, puja vidhi, wo sab archan hai. Vandanam, vandanam matlab prarthana, stuti, stotra, paat karna, ye bhi bhakti hai. Dasyam, ki main Bhagavan ka das hoon, is prakar atma parichay karna, aise sochna. Sadaiva, aise sochna, main Bhagavan ka das hoon. Wo dasya bolte. Sakyam, main Bhagavan ka dost hoon, aise sochna. Aur atma nivedana, pura atma samarpa. To ye sab bhakti hai. Aur ye nau mukhya prakar ki bhakti mein aur bahut bahut prakar ki yojana hai, karya hai, jisse bhakti karne hai. Jaise mandir ka farsh safai karna aur mandir nirman karne ke liye kuch daan dena. To ye sab bhakti hai. Mukhya hai man. Yadi hum paisa dete mandir banana ke liye, lekin hamara udeshya hai ki dusre log mujhko prashansa karenge, oh kitne sare paise diye. To wo to bhakti nahi hai. Sab kuch Shri Krishnaya arpanamastu, sab kuch Shri Krishna ki prasannata ke liye karna chahiye, wo bhakti hai. Hamara udeshya Krishna Bhagavan ki Krishna Bhagavan santusht hoenge, wo hamara udeshya hona chahiye, wo bhakti hai. Yes, anything else? To aap kijiye, aap shravan kijiye ya kirtan kijiye ya smaran vandanam, aap kijiye ya sab shravan kirtan smaran sab kijiye. Jaise taise bhakti karo, aapka param kalyan ho jayega is prakar. So, Hare Krishna. Another kind of bhakti is honoring Krishna Prasadam. And although on Ekadashi, one kind of bhakti is also fasting on Ekadashi. Today is Ekadashi. So, you can fast or you can take prasad offered to Krishna. It's called, we've prepared today, Anukalpa. Anukalpa means Krishna prasad prepared without any grains. That's called Anukalpa. So you can please take that. We'll have a little kirtan first. Books you want to announce?